Spirits, March 22nd, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with one of the docs. Sir, please tell me your name.
Jonathan Otten.
And doc, can I call you Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you called back home back in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, North Carolina's home.
And so does everybody have a number 3 on their car back there, like for Dale Earnhardt?
No, mostly just Carolina Tar Heel license plates.
Oh, well, there you go. And the Charlotte, was it the Hornets?
Yeah, the Charlotte, or the Carolina Panthers are pretty much where everybody pulls for. So Hornets left us and went down to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what I hear, you know. What the heck? Just when you get used to them, they leave, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you do. You're an ER doc, and tell me how you ended up right where we are now.
Yeah, so the shock trauma platoon kind of works closely together with the FRIS, and I kind of help manage the resuscitations of the patients as they come in. It's more of a group effort than anything. The surgeons, there's orthopedic general surgeons and anesthesiologists, and we kind of all, from the physician standpoint, try to help stabilize the patient and get them on to the next level of care. The nurses and the corpsmen really kind of are the backbone of doing that. They do a lot of the preparation that you see outside, getting the patients close, you know, and for a proper presentation to us back in the SDP, and get access, give them medications that are needed. So it's really a team effort, all that you've seen that happens in there when you come in.
Is this your first deployment?
No, this is actually my third.
Tell me where else you've been in your military career doing what you do.
So this is my first in the dirt, as you would say. I did 2 carrier deployments on Abraham Lincoln. One was what's called a Westpac, and the other was a Persian Gulf deployment. So that was back in 08.
Now, you've been here a short amount of time. Your group has been here, but in that short amount of time, you've been pretty busy. Were you ready for that?
I'd like to say I was ready. They took a bit of time back at Camp Pendleton to do some kind of dedicated training. So our first couple patients were mock patients, not the real ones we saw out here. I don't think you can ever really prepare yourself for exactly what you're going to see, but I feel like the training that I did at the Naval Medical Center and then up at Camp Pendleton kind of at least prepared me for what I was going to see.
What inspired you to take the medical field as your profession? Who was the guiding light in this one?
I'd have to say the people in my dad's church. My dad was a minister, and I would go to the hospital. I'd go with the hospital with my dad, and I was just always fascinated with the medical profession and how they cared for people. My dad, obviously from a spiritual standpoint, but the medical providers just basically taking care of the person's kind of physical needs. That was probably the thing. And my grandfather was a boatswain's mate in the Navy, and that was kind of what drew me into military medicine.
How long have you been in the military now?
8 years. I know that. Know that answer pretty easily.
And do you foresee yourself staying another 12? You know, staying in for the whole 20?
Time will tell. I think me and my wife have an important decision to make, but it's been a great opportunity to this point.
Tell me a little bit about your wife and your family.
Best thing ever happened to me. Somehow I stumbled upon a beautiful woman when I was stationed with the Air Wing up in Lemoore, California. And she's given me a wonderful family, to include 2 little baby boys who keep her pretty busy while I'm gone.
And the boys' names?
Dylan and Lucas.
And how old are they?
2 and 1.
Oh, yeah, she's busy.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about what you do here and you know, the intensity in such a short amount of time of what you have been dealing with already, it's startling to me how severe some of these injuries are, yet the people are still even conscious at times. Where do they go when they finish from here? You guys keep them, get them stabilized, and then what happens next?
So in the military, it's a pretty well-established trauma theater. They'll go to what's called a Roll 3, which is a larger hospital, which, depending on the area you are in the country, is a different location. And then from there, they're extricated to Germany and then back to the States to see their families. A little more complicated if it happens with someone who's a local to the area, but there is a medical infrastructure that they go to once they're finished from here. So pretty devastating injuries that we see, but I've been amazed with the strength of the people of this country, and they definitely have a lot of fortitude, I would say.
what would you say to the next person in your shoes that would be coming here and is an ER doc but hasn't seen this? What would be the one thing that you've learned right away that you'd like to pass on to the next person coming in?
Just the sacrifice that our military people have made here on the ground, and just the amount of not suffering, but the amount of strength that these people have been able to manage through the last 20 or 30 years here in this country is pretty inspiring, and I do feel pretty blessed to be able to take care of them. I don't think I would have ever picked this place when I was 5 or 6 years old wanting to be a doctor, where I would take care of patients, but I do feel pretty blessed to take care of both the local nationals and our health and our military personnel, because I think they both sacrificed quite a bit.
This particular location where we are is a very unique mission. We have Army medevacs supporting the Marines on the ground, and then we have Marine and Navy medical personnel. Tell me how all of those entities work together as one. It's startling to me that things get done the way they do.
Yeah, I just think the guys rise to the occasion. That the mission, the medical missions, can be tasked out to one or three different kind of medical transport, and they all just do a phenomenal job. The guys who are up there making the decisions that they do to try to stabilize patients to get them back to us work all seamlessly. There's a communication center that actually helps with the coordination of that. But I think the guys, the pilots and the dust off crew, just do a phenomenal job. So I think they, in the time they've been here, have definitely proven themselves to be professionals.
Now, before we close, I have a request. Of course, one of your family members has written me, and she's really quite special, your mom, and I'd like you to say something to her. And what would you like to say to her?
Mom, I love all you guys, and I miss you, and I'll be home soon. I appreciate the prayers, and I'll see you when I get back.
Okay, so like when I come to North Carolina, do I get like a free meal?
You have to ask my mom.
Well, here she can cook, right?
Yeah,
well,
angel food cakes are a specialty. So.
Oh, no, okay, now I got to bring my wife because she's like got a real sweet tooth. So I get some angel food cake, and what meal do you recommend?
You'll have to ask my grandmother for that, I think.
Oh, your grandmother?
My grandmother's.
Tell me about your grandma.
She lives with my mom, and she's a fantastic cook. Not that my mom's not, but you'll have to put in your special request. They do pretty good with sweets.
Right. Lieutenant Commander Auten, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Got it. Yep.
Thank you very much for taking time out. I know you're getting ready to do your workout and stuff, and really appreciate you talking to me about your job that you do here at the STP.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jim.
This is Jim Speary, March 22nd, 2012, forward operating base at Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.